They say money can't buy you happiness, perhaps, but it's also fair to say that money and happiness are pretty closely linked, in our minds at least. Personal finance columnist Melissa Leong has written a book that looks at many of those connections and how to make them work for you. She is the author of Happy Go Money. Hello there, Melissa.
Hi, Bruce.
Now, disclaimer, I'm so happy to be talking about it. The disclaimer here is I have known about this book for a long time, and I have been rooting for you, and I'm so, so glad to see that it is in print.
And I am so happy to be talking to you about it. And disclaimer of my own, I did come to you when it was in infancy trying to brainstorm a title. And the title, I want everybody to know, it's actually your idea.
Well, I love the title, and I came up with the title. I spent a lot of time, I do these books all the time. I can't read cover to cover every single one, but I really loved your book. It is honest, it is practical, it is well-researched, and most importantly, it is very, very funny. I actually did a spit take when I read the sentence, insurance is a borgasm. Like, I actually spat out the water that was in my mouth. What compelled you to write this book?
What compelled me to write this book was, originally, I wanted to consolidate all of my knowledge about personal finance into some sort of fun, great guy. But there are a lot of those out there, including yours. And so it sort of hung around with my literary agent and in my head for a few years. And then I had a it's not a tragedy. I had a
crisis.
An unfortunate crisis in my life that inspired most of the story and most of the book. And the reason why I went on the happiness journey.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about that. We've been on the show before. We've talked about it. Your husband had a mental health crisis.
He did. We had just gotten married. And I mean, I permandated him for 10 years. So it's not like I was expecting anything out of the ordinary. But he had a bad reaction to sleeping pills and fell into a deep depression. He had anxiety and suicidal ideation and was eventually hospitalized. And during that time, you know, Sean is the happy one out of the two of us. He is.
That's saying something.
He makes me laugh every single day. And in that time, the only thing I could think of to do was to try to be happy. And so I went on this quest to learn everything that I could, because I'm a journalist. I download information into my brain to try to help other people and to help myself. And so I learned everything I could about positive psychology. And this book is a culmination of that and money.
Now, the other through line in the book, you've suffered a series of miscarriages. So it's not that you have had some easy, hooray for everything, privileged life. You really have been in the trenches for many, many years. When do you first remember that you had a role to play in your own happiness, that it was actually something that you could do something about versus just, you know, wait for all the treats to be delivered by Amazon Prime to your door?
Well, I think I remember having a conversation with my best friend about it was when my husband was extremely sick, and she asked me to rate my happiness on a scale of 1 to 10. And I said, after relaying some horrible story to her, I said a 7. And she thought, oh, my God, your life is a 7, then mine's a 12.
Right.
And I realized in that moment that all of the tools that I had used to try to bring myself to a happier state were actually working, because you know, when I wrote the book, some early feedback that I got was that, Melissa, it's so nice. You're a 7. Yay, you. But, you know, other people may be a 3. And I thought, I am naturally a 3. You know, I'm a worrier. Mm. I went into journalism so I can professionally complain.
Right. And so, put yourself in environments where all sorts of terrible things are happening.
Yes, doom and gloom every day. It bleeds, right? And so my own personal journey. Yes, I mean, nobody's life is a walk in the park, right? Everybody has to deal with their own struggles. And so for me, it was just a conversation that I wanted to have with others about, okay, well, how are you trying to get happy? I bet you're trying to buy it.
Mm. And that don't work. Now, you said that even in your worst times, that you never worried about money, paying your bills, or losing your home. Why not?
Correct. Because I had set our finances up in a way when my husband and I got married that unknowingly at the time that basically insulated us during that storm. And so we bought the sliver of the townhouse with the triangular shaped rooms you can't fit beds in. Like, I didn't want that house in the boonies. But we bought it because we could afford it on one income because we thought it would give us opportunities to stay home with a kid. One of us would not work. I had disability insurance. We pulled some emergency funds, which came in handy because when Sean was looking to go to a treatment center, they start $10,000. They're expensive.
Yeah.
And we wanted to do everything we could to get him back to a stable place. And finally, we skipped our honeymoon because we had paid off our wedding in cash and we didn't want to go into any kind of debt because he is very averse to debt and so am I. And that, all of those things, when the storm came a couple months later, we didn't have debt to worry about. We didn't worry about losing our home. We didn't worry about not being able to pay for the things that really mattered in that moment.
You have become a deeply grateful person as I read through the book. And we're going to talk about specific money tips in a second. But fundamentally, you've taken on some practices to foster that gratitude. Tell us about some of the specific things that you've found or have tried, the Bliss app, the 5-minute journal. What are some of the things that you found work?
I think that people just think, oh, I'm going to be happy. I'm just going to wait until life delivers me this event, or when I make a certain amount of money, I'll finally be stress-free and I'll be happy. And it's cliche to say, actually, happiness is work. You know, it's basically how you view the world. And there's a lot of studies that show and a lot of research that shows that, you know, a certain percentage, a huge percentage of your own well-being is actually how you interpret things. And so, yes, there are lots of apps. There are meditation apps. There are, the 5-minute gratitude journal, which is great. I personally find that when I try to force myself to do those things, it becomes work. But I've tried to foster habits that I practice daily. And some of those habits include pausing in the beginning of the day and the end of the day to go over the things that went well. Three things that went well that day. It was a study that was done by some Harvard professors that proved to be very effective in boosting people's general happiness over a long-term period. Every day, and at the end of every day, three things that went well. And it's also tied into gratitude, to standing and being still for a moment and being grateful for whatever it is. So, you know, this weekend I was in a car accident, and the only thing that I can think of, and that car is new. It's a used car. I just bought it the week before.
Ugh.
And the only thing that I can, the only thing I can think in that moment is I'm grateful that I'm okay. I'm grateful that my unborn child is okay. And the rest is money that thankfully I planned for. I have a little bit of fun to boat me in case something happens.
One of the things you talk about is the difference in your temperaments in terms of your financial behavior. Your husband is a ninja at online shopping, and you're a ninja of your own, except for yours is dumpster diving and selling your discoveries on Kijiji, which I could completely picture. How did you bridge the gap in the relationship?
For making me sound like I'm disgusting.
I'm sure you changed your clothes after you got out of the dumpster. And then you probably went to Valley Village and bought a new outfit, right?
I was careful not to touch the sides of the dumpster. Anyways, there are lots of reasons. There's lots of reasons that misers actually marry people who spend a lot of money. There's something about the opposites that attract. But further science reveals that those differences do not translate into a healthy marriage because it's conflict. It's fundamental conflict with values that will not change. And so my husband values stuff and I do not. And so that is an everyday, it's a struggle and has been a struggle and continues to be a struggle. But in that is the lesson that I've had to learn, and through my book, I'm doing that as well, continue to do that, is that just because I'm hoarding or just because I'm spending my time diving into dumpsters, I don't always do that. But that may not be, that may not actually add up when it comes to happiness. Yeah, I'm saving a few bucks driving around to, looking for the cheapest gas, but I need to put a value on my time, because if you value time over money, research shows that you are a happier person.
you've got a whole list of happy money to-dos. At the end of each chapter, there's a whole sort of call to action. What are some of the ones that might be less conventional that you recommend that some of your readers will be like, really? I'm doing that?
Okay. I don't want to sound like I'm going to dive into a Deepak Chopra blog post. But one of the things that is becoming more conventional is meditation and mindfulness. And so I understand there is a chapter in my book that's called Invoke the Dalai Lama. And it talks a little bit about mindfulness. It gives an example of a gratitude or a meditation or a kindness exercise, I guess. And I think, personal finance diehards might read that or open that and think, what is this touchy-feely wellness stuff in here? But if you look at the way that a lot of people spend money, it's done mindlessly. Mm. If you look at the way that people spend money, it's done in response to pain. Why are you buying that thing? Because I'm stressed, because I deserve it, because I'm alleviating some sort of pain, right? And so if you want to tackle some of the stress in your life, then scientifically, one of the most successful ways to do that is to incorporate more mindfulness in your life. And I'm not saying go join some sort of silent retreat for a week. I'm saying that...
Though that wouldn't be a bad idea.
I don't know if I could do that. I think you and I
should do it together. It would be even harder because I could never do it. And because you're as extroverted as I am, we would both suffer together in pain.
I think the whole week would be like miming. Like it would just be charades all week.
Right. Or writing on pieces of paper and passing notes. But then we could write a book together about our week of silence. Such a good idea I just came up with.
We put the pressure on us to actually succeed.
I want to underscore for readers, we have been talking about some of the happiness components, but this is a book that is grounded in research and it's grounded in really important personal finance lessons. So it isn't a Deepak Chopra book. But I do want to include one other thing that I think is so delightfully wacky about your past, and that is your teen vampire fiction. And here's how I'm going to link it. What role do your two teen vampire books, which have sold 70,000 copies, by the way, under a pseudonym, how does that connect to your happy money method?
Well, I think that if you are going to allocate some more money to some goals like debt repayment, which absolutely will make you happier because debt is a massive stressor on someone's life, then you might want a side hustle. And huge, huge numbers of people are joining the side hustle phenomena across North America. Everybody has something that they do on the side to make a little extra money. And if I'm going to talk about happiness, then my advice would be to find a side hustle that fulfills other needs. So maybe it's not just giving you extra money, but it's giving you some sort of joy, some sort of fulfillment in another way. And I love writing. And so that was my passion. It was my side passion that became surprisingly more successful than I ever thought I imagined.
Fantastic. Melissa Leong, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
Melissa is the author of Happy Go Money, an extraordinary new book that will have you think very differently about your happiness, about your money, and about your life.